This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource that's designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when you've got a mob coming after you and you just have this huge number of monsters and it's not just that one or two that you're rolling for and you don't want to roll for 20 skeletons every turn or whatever the situation might be. D&D has a mechanic for that. I don't understand it, so take it away.
Yeah. Oh, gee, thanks.
I'm turning the mic over.
Yeah, so this is in the Dungeon Master's Guide in Chapter 8. This is under Handling Mobs in the Combat section. And I'm... like Casey said, I'm sure that this is a very elegant solution, but it's not written like an elegant solution because it's a little, let's just say, obtuse, shall we? And the problem here is that they are basically introducing a new combat system into your existing combat system. And what they're trying to do is to give you like a law of averages kind of thing. And so this, what it has here is it has a chart that says D20 roll needed. And then it has, you know, a few ranges there, probably six or seven ranges, you know, 1 to 5, 6 to 12, so on and so forth. And then it says the attackers needed for one to hit. So here's the deal, is this is the explanation they give. Okay, so say for example, you've got 8 orcs around a fighter, right? You could just do, you know, 8 d20 rolls and say, does a 12 hit? Does a 13 hit? Does a 21 hit? Does a 2 hit? You know, all of that. Or you can look and go, okay, the orc's attack bonus is +5 and your fighter has an AC of 19. That means the orcs have to get a 14 or better to hit. Okay, great. So now we know the magic number. And on my chart, it says a range of 13 to 14, 3 attackers needed for 1 to hit. And so what that means is that for every 3 orcs that attack, 1 of them hits. And with 8 orcs, that means that there's 2 groups that could possibly hit. And then the other orcs are going to fail. And so you would just roll the die 2 times for those 2 groups. And if it get a 14, then 1 of them hit.
Now that's assuming they're both going after, in this scenario, the fighter. But
right.
You usually have more than one person in a combat. I mean, I'd hope, hopefully your party's not like unconscious around you.
Well, that could happen. Yeah. Or like you said, they open the door and there's 8 orcs and you're just like, roll for initiative, punk, you know? So there are some other better kind of mob tactics out there. I've seen people do like with armies and things where each side rolls percentile die and it represents which side prevailed that time. So imagine the PCs are doing their own thing in the middle of this battle, like looking for the one guy who has the Lich's phylactery, or they're there to infiltrate and rescue the captive while the rest of the army is doing its thing against the opposing army. You do percentile dice and, you know, whoever gets the higher number, that side won that time. And then it represents the difference of, you know, how many creatures died on that one side of the army, back and forth that way. I believe that on Twitter, Sly Flourish has a way of doing mob encounters that's a little bit simpler. I think I saw that before. And unfortunately, I don't have that to link it, but maybe we can find that later. But the idea here is that you can take groups, and if you kind of know what your attack roll range is for this same kind of monster, like a, you know, 80 goblins, or you know, a bunch of hobgoblins, or a bunch of beholders. I don't know why you do that, but you can go, okay, well, for every 3, one's going to hit, so I'm going to divide them up into little groups of 3 and do that. And kind of reduce them down by common factors, as it were.
Yeah, so. And when you do that too, I mean, I think the point would be first and foremost simplicity, right? Because as you were talking, you know, my brain was going with like, well, what about creatures that have pack tactics? Mm-hmm. Like they get advantage on their rolls if there's 2 or more, depending on the creature, but if there's 2 or more of them next to each other or something like that, like if you're like using this technique, you're just throwing that out the window. And sometimes that's the best like feature to make the combat weighted
Right. Well, so if eight wolves or, you know, 12 thugs attack, then you're like, oh no, this is, you know, what I would say is you can kind of just house rule it in that case and still use this chart and just say, well, instead of for every 3-1 hits, for every 3-2 hits, you know, just double the amount of times it hits because they get to have advantage on their rolls, or just still make that one roll with advantage. And so they're more likely for that 1 out of 3 to hit, or that, you know, 1 out of 2 to hit or something like that. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. And the only thing I'd add to that is just a recommendation that if you are going to do something like that, it sounds like just kind of from us brainstorming about this, it would be somewhat homebrewed to a small extent about exactly how you want to do this. I would be very specific and thorough about writing that down somewhere or recording that, just to make sure that method doesn't unintentionally slip or change throughout the combat and change the difficulty or something for your players, just so that you're staying, you know, a little bit more aware. Because if it's not concrete somewhere, it's really easy to float in and out of what you're doing.
Because you want to be fair and consistent. Here's the thing. I have never used this rule ever because I just don't want to. But if you're going to do it, you're going to know in advance, because assuming you're the DM, so that means you know what's going to happen. And so just go ahead and have those rules cold and figure out, okay, well, I want to keep everyone in little groups of 3 or groups of 4, because that's kind of the statistical average of that range for them to be doing these hits. So just prepare that part really hard and know what you're getting yourself into.
So what do you usually do then? If you've never used that, let's say you've got 12 skeletons that are all, you know, climbing up out of the graveyard, because we're almost at Halloween here when we're recording this.
So I just don't do 12 skeletons. I might do, you know, 4 skeletons, 3 zombies and 5 crawling claws instead, or I'll do them in waves that, you know, there's 4 of them attacking, and once 2 go down, 3 more pop up out of the graveyard. So it'll still be this ongoing thing, but I can get it to them in waves and still kind of keep the simplicity of initiative.
And you're still rolling for each monster like normal, right? Standard. Right.
Yeah. And if I have 3 of them, I'll just roll 3d20 and go, because they all have the same bonus, right? So I can just go, okay, one of them got an 18. Is that a hit? Yeah. Okay, great. Right. Which I guess ends up being kind of the same thing, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the difference of the standard array when you're building a character and not. It's the exact same model. It's just being applied in a different scenario.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's how you can do mob stuff.
Thanks so much for tuning into the compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation that Jason and I had. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so that you're always the first to know every time a new episode is published. They come out every Tuesday and Friday, or if you're a patron on our Patreon account, every Monday and Thursday, since you'll get them a day early. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can always follow us on social media by looking up the compendium, C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.